This week, we are presenting an abbreviated worship service from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fayetteville, Arkansas, on February 26, 2023. The order of service will be opening hymn, followed by the scriptures, which will then be followed by the sermon, and closed with the benediction and a hymn.
The hymn of the day is The Power of Your Love, number 139.
I come to you, let your
service begins with the confession and forgiveness.
Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man.
God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape, and you may be able to endure.
Next comes the scripture readings.
The first reading is from Genesis, the third chapter. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you should not eat of the tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the servant said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to me to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord. The psalmody for today is Psalm 32, verses 1 through 7. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord," and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely, in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. The second reading is from Romans 5th chapter. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. He said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. The Gospel of our Lord.
The sermon from Pastor Carpenter starts here.
So each Sunday in this humble house of God, we are privileged to remember that we are a part of an ancient Jewish Christian church, and that ancient church annually remembers God's plan of salvation. Each year we remember how God revealed and completed his plan through his son, Jesus Christ. We go through the book of Matthew this year. Next year will be Mark. The year after that, we'll go through the book of Luke. And just to be comforted, John is not forgotten in this three-year cycle because John is used throughout those years in special ways and in special times. All four Gospels used during these three-year cycles. In Mark's Gospel book, we see Jesus on the move. He immediately goes from here, he goes to there, and he has purpose. He is a healer, he is a miracle worker, he's a teacher. And after all that he does and all those miracles that he shows and displays, he's still misunderstood by those disciples closest to him. Even at the end of the book, on Resurrection Day, his friends leave the tomb and they say nothing to anyone because of great fear. In Luke, we see Jesus as merciful, compassionate, a prayerful teacher with special concerns for the women and for the poor and for the non-Jews, right? The Gentiles. And Luke shows a concern for the whole world as he has a global adoption of God's people by this church as he continues in the book of Acts. In John, we're introduced to Jesus as the divine word, this logos. God is light, and he's part of this creation power. He's noble. He's powerful. He's fully in control of his destiny to be the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. John's gospel calls everyone who hears and sees this and witnesses this to believe the good news. But we're in Matthew. This whole year, Matthew. In Matthew, There's a prophetical announcement in this Old Testament, and the promises of the Old Testament, they're continuously exposed and touched upon and by him in his writings. He's to this Jewish people, he's remembering all these Old Testament words and messages to God's people, and they are fulfilled by Jesus every time. Jesus is the great and final prophet. He is an authoritative preacher and teacher. He doesn't make reference to anybody else. He's the authority. He speaks and teaches on his own. He offers divine signs of love, of healing, of provisions for thousands of people. He calls people to be faithful to the Old Testament God and the Old Testament law. In Matthew, the disciples, they might not have complete understanding, but they come to see Jesus as the Messiah of God. And they are sent to help the people of God throughout all of the nations come to see Jesus as the Messiah of God for themselves, to be their beautiful Savior. Each year as we begin this 40-day season of Lent, we read about a 40-day temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. We've heard this story now, you and I. This is our sixth time through. No doubt your whole lives, on this first Sunday, you've been listening to the temptations of Jesus. Today, as we consider the story of Matthew's gospel, it'd be helpful to remember the context in which Matthew wrote and to the church in which he wrote this lessons for. Matthew wrote the gospel book sometime between the year 75 and 85. Some go as low as 70, but that's the bracket of time. He's a Jewish man. He's an apostle writing his book to an audience, both inside but a lot of it outside the nation of Israel. Matthew's life and the life of the people he wrote to had been drastically changed. We've heard this before, but it's good to remember. The armies of Rome had reconquered the land, defeating all the Jewish opposition. Thousands of people had died. Thousands. They had surrounded the city of Jerusalem. They'd laid siege to the city of Jerusalem, and they destroyed the city as well as the temple of God there. The very temple that the power of God was seen to come down when it was built and it was dedicated by Solomon. The center of their national identity, the pinnacle of their religious life, the icon of their Lord God, it had been destroyed. They were a defeated people. They were confused. Matthew's church of Jewish Christians was now in the Gentile world all around them. And that Gentile world lacked any knowledge of or appreciation of their long history as God's family and their faith in their God. They had no clue. Now, all that said, in considering today's Bible lesson, I believe one of Matthew's reasons for including the story of Jesus' temptation was to affirm and contribute to the following themes that are found in his book, like to strengthen them up, to rise them up, and make them strong. First, that Jesus is the Messiah of God as promised in the Old Testament. That Jesus is the one who was foretold by the prophets of God. Jesus is the spotless Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Messiah who is with his people now, fully understands what it means to be one of us. Unlike all previous people, prophets, priests, and kings alike, who failed in one way or another, Jesus' 40 days of faithful obedience and love in that wilderness is another proof that you and I can fully believe in and completely rely upon him. Proof. Today's gospel lesson is like part of a thread in a tapestry. You know, you have the vertical lines of the tapestry and you have the horizontal lines. They're woven back and forth and they're all connected and tied together. This line of the temptation touches upon the themes that go way back to what we read today about Adam and Eve, the temptations and the deceptions that they faced and how they failed. His temptation is connected to that. It touches upon the themes of Moses leading an unfaithful people through the wilderness for 40 years. This thread also, but more distantly, if you think about them, there's a lot of beautiful connections, but it touches upon other Testament stories, Old Testament stories like this one, that Jesus is with the world now like he was with the three in that incredibly hot, fiery furnace. He's always with his people, and with him it works out. Or Jesus is a spotless lamb whose new covenant of body and blood inside the disciples now makes death pass over, just like it did 1,500 years ago when they put the blood on the doorposts. That thread's connected. Jesus is strong and courageous and is perfectly remembers the word of God, much like how Joshua was told to be strong and courageous and keep the word before him morning, noon, and night as he led the people. These are all connected to Jesus. In the beginning of this book of Matthew and at the end of the book, we have Emmanuel. We know what that means, God with us. In the beginning of the book and at the end of the book, we have Jesus, meaning God saves. Throughout the book, we have disciples, Matthew's book, we have disciples that understand Jesus' teaching of who he is. In Matthew, they don't need additional instructions about the meaning of parables like they need in other books. In the boat, they worship Jesus as the Son of God. They often address Jesus as Lord. They go where they're sent. The 12 carry out instructions about the Last Supper. They recognize his authority. They follow his examples. They obey him. This gospel book of Matthew and today's story of Jesus' temptation, it was given, excuse me, I got a cough. It was given to a people, as we remembered earlier, who were living in a most difficult time in their history. Their nation is defeated. By default, in many ways, they're defeated. Their temple of their God destroyed. And it is to those defeated people with the temple of their Lord destroyed, living in difficult times in history, to them, to everyone who has undergone the difficult times of history, and to you and I who endure the hardships of this life and the uncertainties that we face, Matthew presents Jesus. Jesus, the promised Messiah of God. Jesus, who brings healing, who sets captives free, who feeds the hungry, who proclaims freedom to the captives. Jesus, who does not fall when tempted, is not overcome by threats or torture or death, even death on a Roman cross. In Jesus, like the disciples, we can confidently put our hope. And Jesus, like the disciples, we can strive to follow. All that said, a story to help maybe make this connection. At least it does for me. As the Union Pacific Railroad was being constructed from the east side of the country all the way across to the west side and north and south, these lines being laid, thousands of miles of rail being laid, stories of ingenuity and some hardship were being birthed. One special story was about an elaborate trestle bridge that was designed and built. This bridge was to cross an incredibly large canyon in the western states. The chief engineer drew up the plans, presented them, and he was there every day to make sure that the materials were right, that the construction methods were right, that things were lined up the way they're to be lined up, that the bridge was being constructed as it was designed to be constructed. He oversaw everything. Many months later, when the bridge is complete, he was actually eager to test this bridge. So he requested that a train, many pieces, I don't know, you know, compartments of train, these things, wagons on the train, were to be lined out, and they were to be filled and or stacked, but not with the normal weighted load, but with double the weighted load. Then he instructed first that the train would cross over the bridge in one direction. And when the train had fully crossed, all the cars, all these wagons on the train had crossed over, then it would be stopped and it would be brought back in reverse and it would be parked on top of the bridge. And there it would remain until he asked for it to be removed. Well, one of the Union Pacific Railroad executives, hearing that the bridge had been completed, wanted to make sure that this massive investment was going to be worth it all. He arrived and he was excited to kind of see this bridge. He says, wow, what a bridge. Then when he saw the train being driven across it with extra load, he was like, what's going on? And then he saw, you know, moments, many minutes later, how the train was being backed and parked on the bridge and there to stay parked. He yelled, what the H is going on? And he demanded that the engineer who oversaw this, who gave the order for that, be brought to him. So they went out. They found him. He was on the train. They got him off the train. They walk on the bridge. He gets over there. And to this engineer, this executive says about the same thing he said before. What the H are you doing? Are you trying to break this bridge? Red in the face is coming after him. The engineer calmly, no, sir. I am proving that this bridge will not break. And he went back to his work. I am proving that this bridge will not break. Now, over the years, we've looked, at least with me here, we've looked at the temptations of Jesus and Jesus' answers. There are many valuable insights that we can get from each temptation and each answer and how it connects to all kinds of worldly lessons for us. How we can strive to be faithful within a world that is tempting us all the time. But this year, with this message, I ask that you would consider a 40-day wilderness time and Jesus' temptations, not as a test by God to see if his son would remain faithful. Don't see it that way. This year, maybe for the rest of your life, see the temptations of Jesus after 40 days of fasting in the desert as an opportunity to prove to the heavens and to the earth that his son would faithfully stand strong. Put the weight on him. Double the weight. Triple the weight. After 40 days of fasting in the wilderness all alone, he will stand. Watch him stand. Watch how he stands. The word is uncompromised. The love of the Father is uncompromised. And his mission to save the world, uncompromised. Now, we enter the 40 days. I invite you to do as Jesus did. We call ourselves followers of Jesus. We call ourselves Christians. You claim to be a disciple of Jesus. Then I encourage you to do what Jesus did. Pray. Morning, noon, and night. Make it on your calendar. Put little members. Whatever you have to do to pray, spend time in prayer, morning, noon, and night. If you don't know what to pray, just pray the Psalms. Pray. And occasionally, from sunrise to sunset or for a whole 24-hour periods of time, fast. Do not eat anything. Drink only water. And let the discomfort on your body drive you to remember why you are fasting. You are fasting because you're going to subject your body to the will of your spirit, because you're going to draw closer to your Lord. It's not meant to be comfortable or easy. It's meant to be fruitful. So fast. Fast like Jesus. at additional worship as a family or as a community. We worship in the season of Lent on Wednesdays as well as Sundays. Join us on Wednesdays and here remember how God lived and moved among us and taught us about heaven's ways. This year we're going through the Chosen series. Beautiful series. Come on Wednesdays. 40 days. Get strong. Receive the Holy Spirit-inspired gift of Matthew's remembrance. In these 40 days, remember and read the Gospel of Matthew again and again and again. You will see in this gospel book the promised Messiah of God, who brings healing, who sets captives free, who feeds the hungry, who proclaims freedom to the captives. Jesus, who does not fail when tempted, is not overcome by the threats of the world, the temptations of the world, the torture of the world, or even death on the Roman cross. Jesus, who does what no other person in all of human history has done, to love the Father in all creation perfectly. In Jesus, our bridge between heaven and earth, we can confidently put our hope and we can strive to follow wherever he goes. God help us to be that church. Amen.
The sermon is followed by the prayers.
Let us declare our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. On the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son knew hunger and experienced temptation in the wilderness, yet his reliance on you did not fail. Give to your baptized people a desire and strength to remain steadfast in your word. Assist us as we strive to trust you and obey your command. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, you love mankind. You send your gospel into all the world that people might be delivered from the power of the evil one. Pour out your Spirit continually upon all pastors and servants of your church. Empower them that they may proclaim your word with grace and boldness. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Holy Spirit of God, thank you for your presence, guidance, and strength. Continue to lead the people of Emmanuel Lutheran Church into the future you have prepared. Help us to love you and love each other. Help us to dream your bold kingdom dreams. Bless us with unity and joy as we pursue your future goals. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of mercy and compassion, we pray now for all who are in need of your healing and strength. Hear our prayers for those we softly name before you now. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your angels ministered to your Son after his time of testing. May your angels surround us as we participate in your Son's new covenant of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Refresh us that we may boldly continue the mission and ministry project Jesus initiated. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. O Lord, into your hands we commend ourselves, and we commend all for whom we pray. We will trust in your goodness and mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
This service closes with the benediction and a hymn.
The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Closing hymn now.
How great is our God, number 65.
King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me, how great.
This completes the podcast for today. We're glad that you're able to be with us and look forward to you coming back when you can't attend your regular church service.